be continuing with the series that we've been going on, Is Our Church of Christ a Denomination? And of course, we've answered repeatedly, the answer is no. And we talk about that. So today we're going to look at another aspect of it. See, we've answered this with a no, and to back up this answer, we've shown from the scriptures that we do things the same as they did in the Bible. We will be following the pattern God set forth in His Word. It's just a little bit of common sense there helps us to understand this. And the failure of denominations is the lack of respect for Bible authority. And we know that. They do not respect Bible authority, and it's obvious by the way they operate and by what they teach. All right, so as a result, most people do end up doing what is in their own hearts. And that's true of the denominations. Whatever they think they want to do, that's what they're going to do. And most people do ignore the design of the New Testament. Alright, another question vital to the study and would normally come at the end of the series is this. How do we know that we're not just another denomination? Well, the answer is very simple. Because we follow the Bible. That's as simple as we can get. If we make our best effort to follow the Bible, doing Bible things in Bible ways and calling Bible things by Bible names, then we're going to be doing that which is right. And we can sit down and try and compare ourselves with other groups who have different kinds of names and different practices, different types of worship, different types of things that they do in their work. We can talk about all of those, but it's not necessary. All we have to do is follow the Word of God. And so we need to know that we're following true guidance from God's Word. And that's part of what this lesson is going to be about. How do we know we follow the guidance of God's Word? Well, it's also a very simple principle as we're going to look at this. It's extremely important, needs to be answered, and we will. And we'll address this based upon nature and what is natural. In Genesis chapter 1, on the third day of creation, God created plant life. And he put it out there. And if you read the passage, it says, and he said, let the earth therefore spring forth vegetation, producing after its kind. All right, that's a very important principle. They haven't changed it yet. They haven't found a way for when you plant corn, you get tomatoes. They haven't figured out how to do that yet. And they're still trying. Believe me, the scientists are trying. They're trying to do stuff like that. But they're not successful yet. And so when a farmer plows his field and plants wheat in that field, he's expecting to get wheat for his crop. He's not looking to harvest watermelons or cantaloupes or anything like that. He's expecting to harvest wheat. And so each plant has the capability of reproduction, but only after its kind. Now, when you look at the animal kingdom, basically the same thing is true. When the seed is planted, what is produced is the same thing. When two elephants get together and produce an offspring, it is an elephant. And there's no way it's going to be anything different. Even science has to live with this fact. Now, they try and change it. Well, what about all these hybrid breeds out there? You know, when Noah had the two dogs on the ark, and they must have been there because we got them today. So when Noah had the two dogs on the ark, now you look at dogs now, you got great big dogs, you got little tiny dogs. And but they're still dogs. And that doesn't change the fact. They're still dogs. And dogs can interbreed with each other, but dogs cannot breed with cats. Doesn't work. So corn does not produce tomatoes. Sunflowers do not produce watermelons. Very simple fact, right? So what it teaches us, what we should know, is if we plant the seed, we're going to get what has been planted as a result. And that should be very simple to understand. When we plant the Word of God, into our hearts what is supposed to be the result. A true Christian is going to be the result of that. So if we can understand nature only reproduces after its kind, we can understand that when we do things the way God specifies in His Word, we are following after the kind of religion God wants. He does want that. He has told us what He expects. He wrote it down for us. All we have to do is follow it. And we follow it the way He specifies. The result is going to be Christians, faithful Christians. And it should be that simple. But you know, simplicity is never a quality men respect. You realize that? No matter how simple something is, someone's going to make it complicated, right? Yeah, they're going to make it complicated. Very simple little thing, and they find a way to make it so complicated that even people with degrees of all sorts of knowledge, they can't figure out sometimes. All right, the founder of the church. This is something we need to understand. This fits in with our lesson of when and where it began. Who established the church? Well, we've established that Jesus is the founder of the true church of Christ. We had several lessons back in September on this. And into October, we had lessons about true worship, and Christ established the church. He is the founder of the church. He's the one who started the church. And so we look at that. The church belongs to Him. He is the one who did this. It belongs to Him. He is the head of the church. We read in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He was made head of the church, His body. And then He built the church on His own foundation. When Jesus said, "I will build my church upon this rock," the rock He was making reference to was what Peter had just confessed. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so that is the foundation upon which the church is established and built. The fact that He is the Son of God. And so being the Son of God, He is the cornerstone of this church that we read about in Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. He is the cornerstone. The cornerstone was the most important stone in all buildings back in that day and age. It was the one from which they started. If they wanted to build a building, they would line everything up based on that cornerstone. And if the cornerstone was crooked, the foundation and the structure would be crooked as well. So the cornerstone being the most important part, that's what Jesus is when it comes to His church. He's the most important part. He was the beginning of that. From there, it was built upon by the apostles' doctrine, and by the living stones that Peter makes reference in 1 Peter 2, verse 7 through 9. We're being built up as living stones. All right, Jesus purchased the church. He purchased, we read about that in Acts 20, 28, in that same passage. He died for His church. That's what it means. The shedding of His blood means He died for this church. So in order to purchase it, He had to purchase it with His blood. That meant the shedding of His blood. And so this is all verified by Scripture. So we know who established the church. Now, here's where it gets confusing. Every denomination has a different founder. All right, historical records show that each denomination was starting by an individual who is not inspired of God. They may have claimed to be inspired, but they were not inspired of God. And it's as simple as going to the internet and making a query as to who started each denomination. You go in there and say, "Who started the Baptist Church?" Well, they'll tell you in 1607, a fellow by the name of John B. Smith established the Baptist Church. You talk about who started the Methodist Church. Well, in 1749, a fellow by the name of, Wesley. He started the Methodist Church. And you can go back through history. All you have to do is go to a place called Wikipedia. I mean, it's there on the internet, people contribute that stuff, but every group has its own founders and its own people. Sometimes it might be a little group that said, "Okay, we're going to make up these rules and we're going to start this church." And you can read that. You can read its history, when it started. All this Pentecostalism you hear about, they say it's been around for thousands of years. It's only a couple hundred years old. We're not going to list all of them. We don't have time to do that. But if we spend our time looking at what the Bible reveals, then we're going to know that we're teaching the right thing. So anything that's not recorded in the New Testament is wrong. It is what Jesus said, the doctrines and precepts of men, which is vain worship, vain religion. And so not only have the denominations been started by men and women through time, the time they started is also important. Because when God established his church, when Jesus built his church and died for his church, the church was started back in Jerusalem around, let's say, 30 to 33 AD. Now, all these groups that have started since then, well, we'll just notice that in just a minute. When was the church established? All right. Church began in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came with power upon the apostles. This was 50 days after Jesus was crucified. 50 days. And it was 50 days after Passover, which is one of the Jewish festivals that they were commanded to keep every year. So the city was full of Jews. And then, of course, we saw the events in Acts chapter 2. The sound of a mighty rushing wind and people coming out trying to see what that was. And then, of course, the sign upon the apostles. And so Peter took that opportunity and began the very first sermon. And we read that with many words he exhorted the listeners, explaining what was going on, taking them back to things that they should know, basically the Old Testament scriptures. Scriptures are important. And so Peter took them back to it. You remember what the prophet Joel said? You remember what the prophet Micah said? You remember what Daniel said? He took them back to these places and said, this is what from the Word of God. And by then they accepted the fact that all of these were sacred scripture. These were all from God. God had provided these scriptures and they were all recognized as such. So when Peter turned to a source that those people knew was authorized by God and recognized to be inspired of God, then they listened and said, here's what Joel said. Well, yep, Joel said that. Here's what Micah said. Yep, Micah said that. Here's what Daniel said. Well, yep, Daniel said that. So the veracity of what Peter was now preaching was basically confirmed by the scriptures. And that's what we are supposed to do as Christians. We confirm through the scriptures what we're supposed to be doing. And so we see the result of that first day and the first preaching is these people obeyed the gospel. They were being saved. And we read that the Lord's adding to their number every day those who are being saved. Verses 41 and 47 tells us that. After that, the church grew exceedingly. It grew rapidly. And of course, no denomination existed in the first century. You want to see something interesting? Go look in the creed books of the denominations. And they will confirm this fact. They will confirm that no denomination existed in the first century. And that's what they say. But they also add words, but now it is different. The guy who wrote the Baptist manual, Mr. Hiscox, he did that. We know in the first century that people were baptized into Christ and into the church by the same action. That is how they became Christians, by that action. But today it is different. When did it become different? Nobody knows that answer because they don't even know that answer. It's when they decided they didn't want to do baptism anymore. That's when it became different for them. Neither did the denominations exist in the second, the third, the fourth, or the fifth centuries. And they just didn't exist then. The first one started in 606 AD. The Bishop of Rome declared himself the universal bishop. Later be known as the Pope. in 606, 600 years, 570 years after Christ established the church, the Catholic Church got started. And they just continued on. The first denomination had a vision about between 800 and 1054 AD. So 800 years. What the Catholic Church had started doing was just going off and doing what their leadership felt like doing. If they wanted to change the rules, they changed the rules. If they wanted to practice something different, despite what the Bible said, they did that. And some people were kind of a little nervous about that. They were adding things like the pouring of water for baptism. They were adding things like musical instruments into the worship singing part of it. And there were some people, no, we got to get back to the scriptures. We've got to do what the scriptures say. And so they split. So the Greek Orthodox, or the Eastern Orthodox, was the result of that. They were the more conservative group. They didn't want to leave what the Bible had clearly said. But yet the other group, the Catholics, well, they just kept going the way that they were going to go. Alright, after that, the next denominations really do not show up until around 1520 AD. About shortly after Martin Luther had done his studies and declared that the Catholic Church was not living up to what the Bible said. And so he, along with several others, decided, well, we're going to reform the Catholic Church and bring them into line. We're going to get them going back to the basics, calling Bible things by Bible names, doing Bible things in Bible ways, and get rid of all the extra. You know, the part where the Bible says, do not add to the scripture? Well, we're going to get rid of all that stuff they've added. Do not take away from the scripture. We're going to put things back the way they should be. And so that's what the reformers tried to do. They tried to reform the Catholic Church. That wasn't going to happen. Catholic Church had all that power, and they weren't about to give up that power that they had. And so we had problems. Shortly around the same time, the King of England decided, well, I don't want to abide by their rules because they won't let me do what I want to do. So he split off from them. He said, I'm no longer part of the Catholic Church. So he established his own priesthood, and he established the Anglican Church, or the Church of England. And this was basically the forerunner of the Presbyterian and Episcopalian and the Anglican religions, or the Protestant religions. You've heard that phrase also, Protestant. Because the king was protesting against the Catholics. That's why it got that name, the Protestant religions. All right, so, but the majority of the denominations we have today, you drive down the streets, you see all these signs around. These have started within the last 100 years. All of these are started because men were not satisfied to do things the way God revealed them in the Bible. And it's obvious they're not satisfied that way, because if you walk into their group and say, that's not what the Bible says, they're going to say, there's the door, go. That's what they're going to do. Because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to say, because they like what they're doing. See, a lot of denominations have begun because men were not satisfied with any organized religion. Realize that? A lot of people grew up. They grew up in this church, that church, organized religion. A lot of turmoil, a lot of trouble. That's just something not right there. And so we don't want any part of that. So they basically ditched all of those. Some of them just dropped the traditional names. There's a bunch of groups out there that have names which they were formerly associated with something. But now they just kind of disassociated themselves. When preachers in the Church of Christ decided they didn't want to follow the Bible teaching, all they did was change their church, just took off the name Church of Christ. And we thank them for that. Because we don't like them being associated with us. And there's denominations out there, the United Church of Christ, nowhere near what the Bible says, and nothing we want to be associated with either. And yet they still exist. They call themselves that. They call themselves other things. But these people just viewed the mainline churches as antiquated and seemingly obsolete. Well, they don't satisfy my needs. You ever hear that phrase before? Just doesn't satisfy my needs. Translation of that phrase is, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't want to have someone tell me I can't do it. That's all it gets down to. Now, where the church was founded, this also is important for us. We have to know this. The events recorded in Acts 2 all take place in Jerusalem. And this is where Jesus told his apostles to wait until the kingdom would come with power. He told them that in Luke 24, wait. And then he told them once again in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, tell them, you just wait until the kingdom comes with power. And this is where Jesus said these things would happen, as was written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms. In other words, the Old Testament. The Old Testament said when this would happen, where it would happen, and how it would happen. And it all came to pass. It all fulfilled what the law said was going to take place, what the prophets said was going to take place. Because the prophets, they had the law, and we know what the law says, but here's what God says. There's going to come a day when he's going to establish his law in their hearts. There's going to come a day when he will establish his kingdom. And it will happen in the days of the Roman Empire. They explained it there in full detail. And anybody who chose not to see the truth of that, they had problems. Jesus said the church would begin in Jerusalem. Luke 24:47. And when you look it up in history, no significant denomination ever started in Jerusalem. They all started somewhere else. So we have the church, which Jesus said would start there in Jerusalem. And we have all these other groups out there starting all these different places. Now, where are we going to find the group that is right in the sight of God? Once again, see, the Church of Christ began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified. But wait a minute. We can look at our history of this church building. It started back in around the mid-60s. This building purchased around 71 or 72, something like that. And that's not very long ago. Well, if that's the way you feel, you're missing the point. See, remember the plants producing after their kind? If you follow the Word of God, if we follow the Word of God and do those things as we've been discussing in this series, then you'll see the Church of Christ is the only church that God approves of, is the only church that Jesus died for, and the Church of Christ is right. It was established there on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified. And if we're doing the exact same things that they did back then we are just as much a church of Christ as they were back in the first century. I mean, it's not rocket science to figure this out. See, the Church of Christ we read about in the New Testament is not a denomination. Now, our next lesson, we're going to talk about these non-denominations that people accuse us of being a denomination and how we need to respond to that. But we just need to emphatically deny that we are a denomination. We are not. If we're following God's Word and doing God's Word, then we're not a denomination. If we practice New Testament Christianity as we read in the Scriptures, we will be that New Testament church that God calls His own people. We've learned things about the church that we can read in the Scriptures that describe what we teach and what we do. And that removes us from being a denomination. It takes us out of that category. Because if we're only doing what God specifies in His Word, we're not a denomination. So the smartest thing we can do, or anybody else can do, is practice the New Testament Christianity as God directs in His Word. You can't go wrong with that. That is the perfect formula. That is the seed. Remember when Jesus was talking about the seed in Matthew chapter 13, the sower went out to sow seed. Later on, he explained to his disciples what that parable meant. Said the seed is the word of God. And that's what it is. You plant that seed, what are you going to get? You're not going to get okra. You're not going to get corn. You're not going to get pineapples. No. You plant the seed of the word of God, you're going to get the result of what God wants, and that is Christians. It's not hard to figure out. We just have to be able to tell others about that. But we got to be a Christian. If we want to go to heaven, we have to be a Christian. And the way we do that is very simple. It's not a hard formula to follow, even though the denominations have a lot of problems with it. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They're okay with that one. Say, maybe you need to repent. Well, they're okay with that one too. Yeah, there's some repentance is necessary. Confessing His name. Oh yeah, got to confess the name of Jesus, of course. We can do that. Well, we're supposed to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And all of a sudden, now 99% of the denominations have already broken off with that plan of salvation. They don't want to follow that. They're going to do their own thing. But we as Christians, we're baptized into Christ. Our sins are washed away when we're baptized into Christ. We are added to God's church when we are baptized into Christ. We are part of the body because we are baptized into one body that we read there in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. So, that's what we're supposed to do. And we are commanded and exhorted to live faithful, to be careful, and to watch out for ourselves, to work out our own salvation, and be long-suffering towards others, to be showing love towards one another, to be faithful until death. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we need to do. So you know everything you need to do, and it's up to you. What are you going to do about it? We're going to sing an invitation song, and if anyone does have a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.